When I was 18 years old, I was backstage at the circus, and as a clown, like, you put on your makeup in these various layers and sections, and each layer or section gets a layer of talcum powder on it, which is then brushed away, and it leaves a dried, waterproofed, pie-proof area on your face. It's not like a smeary kind of wet makeup look that you see in Halloween costumes. The way you powder grease paint is that you have a sock, just a regular old cotton sock, that's filled with talcum powder and tied off in a knot. So it's like a little puff, a little bag of powder. And if you just pat that on your face, sometimes rather vigorously, the way some people do it, you know, it's just a way of dispensing powder directly to your face. And everywhere too. It gets all over everything, your shirt and whatever. And so, you know, at this phase in the makeup, what you see is any clowns. You know, sometimes like in a big circus, this could be like 20 or so clowns outside the clown alley dressing room, you know, shirtless, creating this huge cloud of powder out there. And you know, they don't want to get powder all over the dressing room, and they don't want to get powder all over their costumes and their shirts. So they're, you know. So you sort of, this is a little scene, you know. I think we were in Detroit. We were backstage. I'm 18 years old, and I'm standing outside the alley powdering my makeup. And this other clown comes by, and she's like, "What's that?" And she's pointing to my abdomen. And there's like a bump. There's this bump sticking out of my abdomen, this one lone bump. I remember my body pretty clearly then, and I remember that this was like exceptional. You know, I wasn't in like great shape, and I wasn't very muscular, but there weren't any other anomalies like that on my body. There was this like bump sticking out. You could see it. It looked like a rib was sticking out or something. I think I was aware of it before she pointed it out to me. I think I was just sort of in denial about it. I think I was like, "Oh, it'll go away," or whatever. I don't know. But it was very alarming, you know, that like she could see it and that she noticed it. She was like, "What is that? That could be like cancer or whatever." I don't know if she said that, but she was definitely very concerned, and it was obvious why. And, you know, I'm glad that she was. I'm glad she said something. It was actually really good that she did. It sort of gave me permission to deal with it, like go see a doctor and see if it was something serious. You know, you're traveling on the road. You don't have a general practitioner doctor who's right nearby, who you know, who you can get an appointment with. You don't really know anything. You have to kind of like do a little quick research and go find a local doctor and go see him. And I don't know how I found this guy. I think maybe actually that friend of mine who noticed the lump helped me. She did some local research or asked around to see if anyone else had visited a doctor in that town. And we got the name and address of a guy. And I think I took a cab to get to the doctor or something. I don't know how I got there. Maybe I even took a bus. I mean, I was in a strange city. I didn't know how to get around. I'd never really gone to the doctor before on my own. You know, I didn't really know how you go about making an insurance claim and do you have to pay cash up front. Like, I had no arrangements made. I had no idea what to expect or how to talk to the doctor or what to ask him or how to consult with him or use his advice in a way that kept me in control of the situation or anything, or make decisions, or, you know, to think of a doctor as an advisor. You know, I had no sense of it. I was pretty much ready to walk in there and be told what to do about this lump. That was the most comfortable thing to me. And this doctor was actually quite old. I would guess he was in his 70s, which isn't, you know, extremely old, but I would think at that point, for various reasons, a lot of doctors might have retired by then. And this guy was so old school that he was actually practicing out of his house. Like, his office was a room or rooms in his house. It was a doctor's office. It had like equipment and stuff. Enough so. I mean, there's like a desk in there and, you know, some doctor's office stuff. It wasn't like a white room with a table, and, you know, an IV and a x-ray viewer or something like that. It was just an office, you know. And he was so nice. and very interested in who I was. And, you know, I'm sure I had a lot of interesting things to say, being a person who was like a year into a career in the circus, first year in. I mean, it was very exciting to me. It was very exciting to him, I think, to hear these stories and, you know, to get this perspective from a young guy, 18 years old, a year out on the road with the greatest show on earth. And we mostly, during that visit, I think the visit took a number of hours. We mostly talked, just he and I. There was a sort of like nurse, too, who worked there with him. Like when he was keeping office hours, she was there. And truthfully, she was probably doing a lot of his work for him because he had very limited vision at this point. And limited motor skills and strength, actually, as it turned out. And I'm sure he needed her assistance for a great many things. And at one point, you know, after we went through the whole discussion about, you know, what circus people were like and all this stuff, he said, all right, well, let's have a look at this lump. And he took a look at it, and he mostly, like, felt it with his hands, you know. And he was, you know, you could tell he was an experienced doctor. Like, he knew what he was looking for. And what I wanted was mostly to hear that, like, look, this is not an urgent, serious ailment that needs attention very soon. What I wanted to hear was, oh, you know, you should probably get this looked at in a few months when you get a chance, when you get to your own doctor, you know. What he said was, well, the only way to know what that is to remove it and biopsy it. So now I'm thinking, well, look, I've taken already my only day off in this town to come over and do this doctor's visit. Who knows when I could get scheduled to go to the hospital and get surgery. Sometimes that takes weeks of scheduling in advance. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I'd be gone. We weren't in the town for more than 6 days at a time. And it got to be, you know, right away I was thinking, like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And I did wonder, like, if it could just wait. But the next thing I know, the dude had me on a table in his house and was cutting me open. This was in his house. This was like a on the kitchen table house surgery deal. And from a guy who like couldn't see anymore and hardly had the motor skills, you know, to like sign his name on a piece of paper. And this was, you know, under the protests of the nurse lady. You know, she was like, no, 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 not here. Don't, blah, blah, blah. I mean, she didn't know what to do. And it was like clearly something that had come up previously. She was aware that he might try to do something like this. I mean, I never learned what the story really was. I didn't know if it was like, I don't know, maybe there was an incident where like he didn't know where to stop and he was still like doing surgeries in his house at age 70 and he wasn't going to stop until someone like, you know, pulled the plug on his license. Maybe he didn't have a license anymore. I don't even know. You know, or maybe it's just, who knows? I don't know. I don't know what happened. She didn't want him to do it. And she was like hovering nervously over this procedure, which was somewhat painful because local painkiller, local anesthesia don't seem to work very well on me. There was no technology. I mean, there was no, you know, electronic monitoring, like surgery tools, lights, stuff. I mean, this was just in a room with the light on the ceiling and some knives. Some, you know, they were surgical knives from what I could see. And he, in the end, he cut this tumor out of me. And, you know, it was like, it was pretty big. I mean, it was like, I would say half the size of a golf ball. And it was pretty well attached into my abdomen. And he didn't have the strength to like tear it out of me or cut it out of me. It was really hard. It was a big struggle for him. And he left some of it in there, and that really concerned the nurse lady. And, but he knew. He was like, ah, this is nothing. I know it's nothing. after he saw it. I don't think it ever got biopsied. And in fact, that one never went on the books because I never got a bill. I never heard from him again. And I don't know what happened to him, but I'm fine. I have a scar on my abdomen. And later, years later, I started to get more of these, you know, and it really caused me to not want to go to a doctor to get them looked at. So at a point, I had dozens of them all over my abdomen, like various, like around my trunk, like around my back and my belly and my chest, my arms. And I just felt at some point, it was like there were so many of them. I asked a doctor about it once. I went to a doctor that I had, and my doctor had to be out that day, so he sent a sub. My doctor was on vacation for a month, and so I had this doctor who barely spoke English, who was Chinese. You know, I understand that like traditional Chinese medicine is food. You know, it's like various dietary recommendations, basically. I met with this doctor, and he kind of like with his hands examined all these lumps that I have all over me. I told him about the surgery from the first lump. And he said that I should eat Olestra potato chips and that it would make the lumps go away. And the third time I went to a doctor about these tumors, he also, like the first doctor, felt that there should be a biopsy done. And without any kind of record or legitimate information or data about the first doctor story, which I'm sure he found as unbelievable as you do. I mean, the story really does lack credibility. he felt that he should remove this one. There was one on my chest that was like right over the center of my chest, like dead center, like over my heart, that he felt like should be cut out and biopsied. And it was quite large. I mean, it was the size of a golf ball. So I had an appointment to go to the doctor, and then they gave me tons of local anesthetic. I was on the table. It was all like legitimate. There was, you know, it was really in the hospital. You know, I went through the surgery. They cut me open. They made a nice small incision. They did a nice job. It was very careful. There's a lot of method. I talked to the doctor while he did it. He took his time. I took it very seriously. And he also had a lot of trouble cutting that tumor out of me. Like, at one point, he was sawing away at it, and it was holding on by this one small tendril, and he tried to, like, pull it out of me. And he pulled so hard, he actually lifted me off the operating table by this one tendril of tissue. It was extremely difficult to wrestle out of me, get this thing out of there. He got it out of there. They biopsied it. They said, eventually, you know, it said that it was a lipoma, which is a fatty tumor. And fatty tumor is something that dogs get, it turns out. And this doctor explained to me that, you know, if you feel around the abdomen of an old dog, very often you'll see like he's riddled with these lumps, these tumors. It's very common in dogs. And he said that he'd never seen one of these dog cases in a person ever heard of, a person who had so many of these all around the abdomen, just like a dog gets. But meanwhile, as they stitched me back up on the operating table, the doctor said, you know, have you arranged for a ride to go home? Are you taking a cab? And actually, I lived near that hospital. I lived like a short bus ride away, like a 15-minute bus ride. So I said, oh yeah, I'm getting a ride. I lied because they don't want you to go home on your own. If you've had like an anesthetic and if you just had surgery, they're responsible to make sure that you're under supervision, or they have to keep you there, which I didn't want. So I just said, yeah, I have a ride home. And honestly, I felt fine. There was no reason at all why I couldn't like get on my own feet, walk over to the bus and get on the bus and ride the 10 minutes home. I mean, the surgery was like a small 1-inch incision on my chest. It had nothing to do with my feet, my legs, my head, or any, I mean, you know. So I walked out of there on my own with, you know, some painkillers. They gave me like some over-the-counter level kind of painkiller. And, you know, they had a bandage taped to my chest and I felt fine. I didn't feel any pain or discomfort at all. And I got on the bus and I went home. I felt so good. I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go to the movies tonight. Since I took the day off from work, I'm going to go out to the movies. There was a longer bus ride away, actually. That was quite a ways across town. And I went to see that night, I think it was a, maybe it was an action-adventure movie. I don't know. It was a long movie. It was the middle of the week. I think it was a Monday, so there was nobody there. The theater, I think, was the only person there. And at one point in the movie, I was, like, slouched down in my chair, the way I slouch way down in the movies and put my knees up. At one point, I adjusted my position and kind of, like, you know, like, pushed myself up further in the chair with my arms and kind of, like, held my knees up. And that sort of tightening of my abdomen caused a great deal of pain, like a sharp pain. And that was the first occurrence that I had that I was like, oh, maybe that local anesthetic is wearing off a little bit now. And I did have surgery. I mean, they did cut me open today and remove something from me. So I guess that's what that is, you know. And I didn't have those painkillers with me. I didn't think I was going to need them. I didn't think there was going to be any pain from the surgery. And I just sat there and I watched the rest of the movie and I was fine. Nothing hurt. And then the movie ended and the credits rolled and the lights came up and I put my feet down and I tried to stand up and I just could not move. Like any movement affected the middle of my body such that like it was extremely painful. I'd been cut open and stitched back up. And I had to somehow like with moving my body as little as possible without like tightening my abdomen or twisting my trunk around or anything, I had to like get out of that auditorium over to a phone in the lobby and call for help and get a ride. And I waited a long time in the cold for a friend of mine to come pick me up and drive me home. After that healed up, I still had a somewhat unresolved feeling what the doctor had said about it being in case he'd never seen anything like that in a person. I thought it was an unusual thing to say. I thought, like, why would you tell someone that? You know, unless you're really caught off guard by it, and maybe you shouldn't have said that, you know. But I had the idea, since he had said that it's very common in dogs, that I would just actually call a veterinarian and get an opinion from someone who had, you know, examined a lot of dogs and seen this condition. And I did. Although he gave me a real talking to on the phone, and he was upset and explained to me that veterinarians can't examine people, and you know, was I trying to get him in trouble? Or of course he couldn't, you know, examine me. And I had to leave it at that. Thank you.